You know, this afternoon, we are starting a brand new series, okay, called Behind the Scene. We're looking basically at the things that God has been orchestrating. And we're looking at one character here. And this afternoon, this is but an introduction for this series. Okay, the next coming Sundays, the next three Sundays, we're going to talk about the application part of what we're going to learn here this afternoon as we get to know the third person of the Godhead, which is the Holy Spirit. But before, let me just say something for a while. I think that this was last Monday. Rian and I, we had some trouble at home, and it was crazy because we slept through the night without electricity. Can you imagine that? I mean, it's in our generation, that's right now, that's no longer normal. Okay. For some reason, there was some problem with our account. There was no delinquent payment with the electric company. It's just that, you know, there was some error, and so what they did was that they cut our line, and you know, it really, you know, tested my Christianity, my patience, and everything. So hindi ko lang sinabi munti ko sunugin yung building na yan, but anyway, hindi ko po ginawa yun. But anyway, while we were in that ordeal, napakababaw, no? When we were in that ordeal, I realized that, you know, it's actually difficult not to have a light. If you don't have electricity at home, it's actually a difficult thing, simply because you cannot. It's hard for us to move around. You just can't move around. You know, it's a little difficult to just go from the bathroom to the kitchen. It's not normal. Okay, it's not normal because I feel like at a certain point, you know, I might step on the dogs, and worse if I'd step on my wife. But of course, it's not gonna happen. But. But there's basically one thing that I've learned, and I realize, and this is true to everyone, I think all of us have experienced this, I realize that even if we don't see things physically, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's no longer there. And this is basically the premise of this series. And this is quite interesting because this is one of the first few, you know, this is just one of the few first few things that we have as a series to talk about the third person of the Godhead. Or shall I say, the least understood, okay, among the members of the Trinity. We are going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And it really excites me. I don't know if you're excited whenever we talk about the Holy Spirit. Come on. Pwede palapakan natin yung Holy Spirit sandali. Come on. I don't know with you, but when I ask you to applaud the Holy Spirit somehow, to some degree, it's a little awkward. It's a little awkward, you know why? Because our generation, not just our generation, every single generation in this world will have to contend with the fact that the Holy Spirit is not as tangible as Jesus. That is what we call the intangibility effect. Okay, the intangibility effect. Our generation right now relies too much. Okay, we rely so much on our faculties. Okay, on our senses, our eyes, our ears, our hearing. Okay, we rely so much on that. We rely so much on scientific method that if these things cannot prove the existence of this, then we don't believe those things. And it is the same attitude that we apply whenever we talk about the Holy Spirit. And it's a sad reality that we have because I feel like we are missing a lot as a Christian if we don't tap on the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is what we're endeavoring to unpack to everyone here in this series for us to understand the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Look at this one. John chapter 14, verse 6. It says here, this is Jesus pertaining to the Holy Spirit. It says here, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. So it's just difficult for everyone to receive and embrace the person of the Holy Spirit simply because we do not see the Holy Spirit. Or there was not a record in history, unlike Jesus, even unlike God the Father, okay, there's no record that shows that there was a group of people who had a tangible encounter, okay, with the Holy Spirit, as tangible as, you know, the Jesus of Nazareth for that matter. Okay, God the Son, which is the second person of the Godhead. Now, I deem it important to explain the Holy Spirit to all of us, but I don't want to sound too theological. But I will have to ask everyone to bear with me in the next 20 minutes. I feel like this is something very important. This is something that we have to understand as we talk about the person of the Holy Spirit, so that the next coming weeks, we're going to talk about His moves and roles in our lives. Okay, so this afternoon, this might appear like AA teaching for all of us, but nonetheless, all of us will benefit from this one. Amen? Okay, all of us will benefit from this. Now look at this one. If there is a group of people, and this should comfort you. If there is a group of people that were the most uncomfortable with the thought of the Holy Spirit, okay, it will have to be the disciples of Jesus Christ. The disciples of Jesus Christ, okay, they themselves, they were uncomfortable with the thought of the Holy Spirit. Why? Why were they not comfortable with the thought of the Holy Spirit coming upon them? They were not comfortable simply because they understand one fact, that the coming of the Holy Spirit means the departure of the Lord Jesus Christ. The coming of the Holy Spirit would basically mean the departure of a friend that they have. Okay? A friend that they have in the person of Jesus Christ. And they don't like transition. They wouldn't want to be in a transition. Okay? One year, you get into some transitions in your life. Your friends living for the States. Your friends living for Europe. Sana naman hindi sa Syria para maging ISIS or whatever. We encounter so many transitions in our lives. I don't know. Maybe for some of our single professionals, you know, after the prepare singles getaway, you might get into a transition from singlehood to married life. Okay, hindi po natin alam. Okay, anything is possible naman. All right, so they're not comfortable with a transition. I don't know if you've ever had this before. If you've ever experienced this, but you know, I have friends in my life that, you know what, whenever I just, if I walk in maybe in downtown Dumaguete, and then I see them on the other end of the street, just by the mere fact of looking at each other, we start laughing already. Do you have friends who are like that? You know, parang sir ulo. You don't talk, you don't crack jokes. It's just that the mere sight of each other makes you smile or makes you crack in laughter. Why? Because we have inside jokes. It's the same thing with the disciples and Jesus Christ. They know the color of the eyes of Jesus because Jesus was with them. Okay, they know the color of His hair. They know His scent. Alam nila yung perfume ni Jesus. Alam nila yun. They're familiar with everything about Jesus Christ. That is why the very thought of Jesus living and the Holy Spirit coming upon them made everything so complicated for them. And they basically didn't welcome that thought. You know, every time there's a transition. Okay, for example, next year, this nation is going to vote for a brand new president. Okay, we're going to vote for a president and there's going to be a transition. The current president will have to step down, new president sets in, and every time there's a transition, there's always a what? There's a what? A succession phase and a transition phase. Okay, there's a succession plan and then there is a transition plan. Now look at this one. When Jesus started, okay, giving hunches, or when Jesus started telling His disciples that He was leaving, this was His transitionary speech. Look at this one. It says here in John chapter 14, verse 16 to 17, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper." Then it says here, "to be with you forever." All right? Then it says here, "even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." Look at verse 16 for a while. Look at this one. It says here, "I will ask the Father," Jesus said, "I will ask God the Father, and He will give you another helper." If He came in as a help, okay, He's going to give another helper in His place. And then it says here, this helper will have to be with us forever. Are folks with me? This helper pertaining to the Holy Spirit, according to Jesus, will be with us for the rest of our life. We don't have any choice. We only have one Holy Spirit. So might as well try to comprehend and understand His ways in our lives. Now, I don't know with you, but you know, God the Son, God in flesh, God incarnate in flesh and blood, walked this very earth for how many years? He was with us for 33 years. Can you imagine that? He was with the disciples for 3 years. In fact, 30 years, you know, as a young kid, you know, when he became a teenager, he was a carpenter because his dad is a carpenter. And he started doing his ministry. He came into full-time ministry when he was 30 years old. And guess what? In 3 years' time, he made a lot of disciples. Okay, who am I here? You are a three-year-old Christian. You're a three-year-old Christian. I hope that you're living a very fruitful life. It was the case for Jesus Christ. He was very fruitful in what he was doing. In fact, he had this, a bunch of 12 people. He would heal people there. He would heal people here. He would proclaim the gospel here. He would proclaim the gospel there. He would set people free from demonic possession and all of those things. But he was with us for how many years? 33 years. 33 years. 3 years of fruitful ministry. Now, can you imagine this? In that span of years, he was able to impact our lives. Okay? Everything basically was arranged in the person of Jesus Christ. But now, this verse in verse 16 doesn't talk about the Holy Spirit being with us for 30 years. No, not for 31, not for 32, certainly not for 33, but how many years? Forever. Forever. So if there's one line that I would want us to embrace, it is this one. So Holy Spirit, my forever. Ito ang pinaka-legit na my forever na pwede niyong i-embrace. I mean, this is the fact. I would want to put weight on this thing right here because this basically would revolutionize your thinking. It's going to affect your life. You know why? Look at this one. If you come to understand that the Holy Spirit will be with you forever, who may finds comfort in that fact? That you will never, there's not one single minute in this earth that you will be alone. The Holy Spirit will always be with you 24 hours, 7 days a week. I just love that thought. And not just that, that is one thing that gives us comfort that is going to be with us forever. Here's another thing. I want us to understand that if we know who the Holy Spirit is, and we know that this person will be with us forever, then guess what? We're going to walk in the purposes of God in our lives with all confidence and assurance. And that is what I seek to answer here this afternoon. I want to show us just, you know, three quick things that we need to understand, okay, regarding the Holy Spirit. Are folks ready for this one? I just pray that we'll just receive this with an open heart, and, you know, the Holy Spirit himself will just minister to us here this afternoon. Here's one first thing that I want us to understand. I want us to understand that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is not some cute dove or something like that. The Holy Spirit is God himself. Hello? The Holy Spirit is God himself. He's not just, you know, some fire or something like that. The truth is, the Holy Spirit is not an it. He's not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. Look at this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. It says here, now the Lord is the Spirit. Look at this one. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Aren't you glad that the Bible doesn't say that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is condemnation? It says here, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And guess what? The Spirit of the Lord is in you. So meaning to say there's freedom awaiting for you if you get to understand the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit is God himself. We know this. God is a triune being. Meaning to say, God is three persons. We're talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And everyone, every member of the Trinity, okay, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, every single member of the Trinity are fully God. The Holy Spirit is not a demigod or something like that. He is God himself. You know, if you seek to really understand, you know, the doctrine of the Trinity, you'd basically scratch your head. Because the truth is, the doctrine of the Trinity is basically offensive to our mind because our mind is finite. Okay, we are limited. In fact, according to Augustine, this guy right here, okay, I'll have to say that he's one of the most prolific, you know, Christian minds there was in history. Okay, maybe next to Paul, this guy is just so amazing. Okay, according to him, you know, he basically studies everything about God, studies everything about culture, studies everything about history, and basically, you know, weaves everything together and gives us, you know, sets of things that we get to understand. Now, one day, he was on the beach. While he was on the beach, he's contemplating about his life, he's contemplating about his new writings. While he was on the beach, he saw a young kid playing in the water. When he looked at what this kid was doing, he realized the kid had a bucket or a pail, and then the kid would dig something on the shore. The kid would dig a hole on the shore, then after which the kid would get or dip his bucket of water or pail of water and put it on the hole that he has been digging. The problem is, you know this, have you tried this as a kid? You try to put water on the beach, it just doesn't hold the water. Alam niyo ba yun, the sand doesn't hold water. So he placed water in there, and this kid would like scratch his head, and will have to come back and get another bucket of water and try to put it there. And it's just endless. So finally, you know, Augustine went to the kid and talked to the kid about what he's doing, and that's what the kid told him. I'm trying to put water in my hole. And according to him, he realized that at that very moment, he felt like God was speaking to him, and that was God's message for him. God's presence is like the vastness of the ocean. And what he's trying to do is that he's putting, you know, buckets of God in his very limited mind. It just wouldn't work. And finally, he came up with his thesis, a famous one. He said, if you seek to deny the Holy Spirit, you lose your soul. But if you seek to understand the Holy Spirit, if you seek to deny the Trinity, you lose your soul. And if you seek to what? To understand the Trinity, you lose your mind. That's basically what he said. There's just so much about God, and there's nothing in this world will be substantial enough to explain the mysteries of God. And one of that is basically the Trinity. That might be another preaching that we're going to have down the road. But for now, we're talking about the third person of the Godhead, which is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if you look at the book of Romans, if you try to study it, here's one amazing thing. The amazing thing is that the Bible is very clear that the Holy Spirit is God. Are folks with me? The Holy Spirit is God. And the amazing thing here is this one. The Holy Spirit takes what? He takes residence in you. That's why the Bible is very clear that your body, look at your body right now. Tingnan mo yung mga beach bod mo na yan. That's why the Bible is very clear that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Meaning to say, God basically resides in you. The Holy Spirit in you is God in you. The Holy Spirit in you is God in you. Can you imagine that? I want you to imagine the beginning of time when God was creating the world. Just imagine, with our limited edition, but basically because of the movies that you've seen already, if you've watched already, you could begin to imagine the power of God. Amen. Can you imagine God commanding waters to come forth and water is there? Can you imagine God, you know what, creating the Carabao, creating all of these animals that walks on earth? Can you imagine God breathing the breath of life to Adam? Now, I want you to understand, we're talking about an immense power of the God that we worship. The God that we worship basically holds everything together in the entire universe. He holds everything together, and there's not a slight degree of error in everything that's happening around us. And I want you to understand that power, that powerful God, that power basically resides in a believer. That power basically resides in a believer, in a believer's body. The Holy Spirit is God. The next thing that I want us to understand is this one. The Holy Spirit is personal. The Holy Spirit is personal. The Holy Spirit is God. Next up is that the Holy Spirit is personal. Now, I want you to catch this. If there is someone, if there's someone who is personal, what does it mean? What does it mean? If something or someone is personal, it simply means that the person has a feelings. Because he is personal. Now here's what I want us to understand. You know what? I just learned 2 days ago that there's a group of scientists in the States. I just forgot to get a thorough research on this one. But there's a group of scientists in the States, and they are now boasting of the most accurate and most sensitive scale in the entire world. It's not like the scales that you have on the market for kilo and something like that. No, they're boasting of something more accurate and more sensitive than whatever scale that is out there. In fact, they're boasting of one thing. They said, we can measure the weight. Our scale is sensitive enough to measure the weight of a single proton. Can you imagine that? Alam niyo po ba yung proton? Baka kaya hindi nyo ma-imagine. Can you imagine that? A scale so sensitive that can measure a single proton. It measures the weight of an atom and something like that. I mean, this is just crazy. It only means one thing. Whatever the scale is, we sure know for a fact that this scale is very, very sensitive. Here's what I want us to understand, friends. Because the Holy Spirit is personal, I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit is hypersensitive. The Holy Spirit is hypersensitive. The problem with us Christians, don't worry, kasama po ako dito. The problem within the Christian circle is this one. We keep talking about us being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing wrong with that. Being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, there's nothing wrong with that. But guess what? There's another facet that we're missing. It is the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. What am I trying to say here? As a Christian, we love thinking like, okay, this is the moving of the Holy Spirit in my life. You were taught growing up as a Christian. You were taught by your discipler, by your leader, to always be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. And that's perfectly fine. We have to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Do I have to say yes to this person or no? Do I have to take this job or no? Is this what the Holy Spirit is telling me? I have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That's perfectly fine. But there's another facet that we're missing out. We're missing out on the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. Meaning to say, we're not looking much on how sensitive God is in you. What am I trying to say? This is precisely the reason why Christians would always want the spiritual gifts, but they don't mind the fruit of the Spirit. I want to prophesy. I want to preach. I want to have that. I want to do all of these great things for God. Perfect. No problem with that. But guess what? It has to be accompanied by the fruit of the Spirit. One Christian author would begin to say, he said, the most tragic thing that could ever happen to a person is for him to succeed even before he is ready. Sometimes we're so inclined into being sensitive. That's why sometimes our friends out there calls us weird. Napaka-weird naman itong mga Christians na to. Sana naman po wag tayong weird. We can be sensitive and not weird. Hello? Our goal as a church is not to be more mystical. That is not our goal. We want to understand the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. What am I trying to say here? Look at this one. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it says here, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. How many of you are married? Can I see your hand if you're married? Come on, just live it like you're very proud of your wife or your husband. Come on. Ayan, ganyan. I don't know with you, for the married people here, for the singles, I bet you have your own sets of best friends. But do you remember those times wherein your partner grieves you? They would do something stupid, and you feel so irritated, you feel so hurt, you feel so offended. Hello? If you're in a relationship, you know what I'm talking about. There's numerous times that I felt like I was rude to my wife, and I know that I grieve her for that matter. I'm just glad that she is a forgiving person. And I want us to understand that that level of relationship, it applies to our relationship to the Holy Spirit. What was it that I was telling a while ago? He is with us forever. So Holy Spirit may forever. So ibig sabihin, kahit saan ka magpunta, andun yung Holy Spirit. Kahit anong lumabas sa bibig mo, naririnig ng Holy Spirit. Kahit anong hawakan mo, pinapahawak mo sa Holy Spirit. Ganun lang po yun. Guess what? If we endeavor to honor God, the Holy Spirit being sensitive, He's happy for us. Your friends invites you to do this and you feel like, I feel like it violates my conviction. I don't want to do it because I want to honor God. You know what? You might lose your friend, but the Holy Spirit is just cheering you up. Way to go, Patrick. That's my boy. Whenever we get into a crossroad wherein we'll have to honor some people or honor God, and we always choose to honor God, guess what? We make the Holy Spirit so joyful and happy in us. But folks, in the same aspect, there are things that we automatically do that grieves the Holy Spirit. He doesn't really get angry or get pissed with us. He just grieves. The word grieve here in this text is from the Greek word lupeo, which means what? Get your feelings hurt. You want to hurt God? You want to hurt the Holy Spirit? Do something stupid. He gets hurt with that. And you know what? If you ask me right now, Archie, is there something specific that I can do that grieves the Holy Spirit? I think a lot of us have something in our minds right now, right? If I cheat, I grieve Him. If I, if I do these crazy things, I grieve Him. If I lie, if I disobey, I grieve Him. But guess what? While I was studying this text, I realized that we can do as a Christian, as a pastor. Ako po, as a pastor, there are so many things that I do in my life and that grieves the Holy Spirit. In my daily grind. But I realized when I was looking at this text, the Bible is just so specific. The Bible is mentioning that there's just one thing that really grieves my heart. Yeah, you know, that grieves me. Those are packets of grievance that I have, but there's one thing that really grieves my heart. And it's found in the next text. Look at that one. Ephesians 4:31. It says here, get rid of all bitterness. What's my point? This is what the Bible says. If there's one thing that really grieves the heart of God, it is bitterness, friends. It is bitterness. There are two things that we can do against the Holy Spirit. We can either grieve Him or quench Him. If we grieve the Holy Spirit, it talks about our horizontal relationships. Your relationships with your partner, your relationship with your friends, your relationship with your parents. Anything that has something to do with grieving the Holy Spirit, it always talks about our horizontal relationships. Whenever you talk about as quenching the Spirit, it now involves our vertical relationship, which is our relationship with God. If there's something that happens in my life, if there are things that are done against me and I feel offended, well, at a certain point in your life, you were offended by someone. Na-offend na ba kayo? Na-offend ka ng seatmate mo ngayon? You know what? Whenever I take offense over something, the sinful nature kicks in. And you know what I do? I always try to justify my anger. I always tell God, sometimes nilalagyan pa rin ito ng holy anger. Lord, this is a holy anger. Kasi Lord, binastos ka niya. Nakas naman. Hindi, na-offend ka lang. I try to justify my anger. I try to justify why I'm feeling this much hatred towards this person. But folks, I want you to catch this. At the end of the day, there's one potent ingredient in your bitterness. You know what that is? It is self-righteousness. It is self-righteousness. Why are we talking about these things? The devil is out there to destroy relationships. If there's one thing that the devil really hates with what is happening in your life right now, he doesn't want you to have thriving relationships. He doesn't want you to have thriving godly friends, for that matter. Satan is a destroyer of relationships, and one of his tools is bitterness. And bitterness is like a Pandora's box of so many more evils that will come from it. Gossiping, backbiting, slander, malice, deceit, all of these things. I hope not murder. At the end of the day, I want you to understand this. Bitterness is a result of unforgiveness. Bitterness is a result of unforgiveness. That's why the next verse after 30, verse 31, in verse 32, it says here, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. You know, I was looking at this verse a while ago, and look at this one. To be kind and compassionate, I feel like I can do that. It's, you know, being a Christian, to some degree, it's easy to be kind and be compassionate. Tama po ba? You know that you have the upper hand on this one. Then it says you're forgiving each other. You know what? If you ask me personally, I would have been happy if there's a period right here. Forgiving each other, you know, it doesn't really carry much weight on me. But it says here, to forgive other, just as Christ God has forgiven you. At the end of the day, wala po akong excuse. Lord, kasi, oops, I've forgiven you. Release forgiveness, friends. You want to have a thriving relationship with God? Learn to release forgiveness. Do not dwell in bitterness, friends. There's some of you here was a brewing bitterness toward your parents. You know what? That's not going to cost you any good. You're not going to benefit from that hatred. But you don't understand, Archie, that person betrayed me. So what? We betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has forgiven us. Who are we not to be able to forgive other people? Amen. Bitterness is coming from a heart that is unforgiving. I want to make an analogy with this one for a while. I was thinking about this last night and I realized that, you know what? If you have a very bitter heart over someone, you know what it is like? It's like a clogged sink or a clogged drain just like this one. Have you ever done this before? Your parents got so mad with you because you poured in all the rice, the chicken, on the sink. Akala ko, ma, meron tayong shredder. Wala kayong shredder. Nasa Pilipinas tayo. I thought there's a shredder. Wala po, sa movies lang yun. You know what, when we grieve the Holy Spirit, I was telling you a while ago, the Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit takes residence in what? In us. So Archie, does it mean that if I grieve Him, He stays away from me? Hindi po. Aren't you glad that no matter what what amount of mistakes that we do against God, He doesn't forsake us. That is why the Bible is very perfect, that God's love for us is unconditional. At the end of the day, again, He's telling us, in me, there is forever. I'm gonna be with you for the rest of your life. There's no problem with our union with the Holy Spirit. Guess what? No matter what kind of mistakes that you might do, the Holy Spirit still takes residence in you. But the problem here will be like a clogged drain. There's no water flowing, meaning to say, you keep your union, but you lose your communion. You lose your thriving relationship with God because of all of this bitterness and all of these things that's running rampant in your life. You're reading the Bible, you feel like you cannot perceive God. It's not that God is not in you. He is in you. It's just that there are things that you need to do first. You have to release forgiveness. You have to ask for God's grace to be in you. You have to remove the things that clogs your dream. It's clogging your dream for that matter. The next thing that we do to the Holy Spirit is that sometimes we quench the Holy Spirit. I told you a while ago, grieving the Holy Spirit always pertains to our horizontal relationships. You know, quenching the Holy Spirit is not like this one. It's like the other picture, which is this one. It is a lavatory that doesn't have water. How do I quench the Holy Spirit? I quench the Holy Spirit in me if what? If I act out in fear and not in faith, meaning to say I don't step out into the purposes that God has for me, meaning to say there's a river of life flowing inside of me, but I don't want to tap on the resources that I have. That's why you feel so dry. You don't want to obey. You know, God is telling you to take this route, to take the route to the right. You're taking the route to the left. God is telling you to preach to your classmates, to preach to your friends. You don't want to do it. Guess what? You're quenching the Holy Spirit. That is what it means to quench the Holy Spirit. At the end of the day, friends, I want us to understand the Holy Spirit is personal. Tell your seatmate for a while. He is personal. I want to end with the last one, which is this. The Holy Spirit gives us power. The Holy Spirit gives us power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says here, you will receive power. The word power there is coming from a Greek word dunamis, which means dynamite. That's where we get the word dynamite. It says here, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So this verse tells me that it is actually possible for me to live a Christian life that is actually powerless. And yes, it is true. You can live a Christian life that is powerless if you're living your life apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. But if you're here and you are a Christian and you know for a fact that the power, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, guess what? There's something brewing in you. Something happens into your life. This is what happened to Peter. He was a scared man, denied Jesus Christ 3 times. After receiving the power of the Holy Spirit, he starts preaching and 3,000 people got saved. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I want you to imagine Jesus telling this to you right now. He tells you, John, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Who am I if God tells you that you get so excited? Man, Lord, gusto ko yan. But guess what? You know what? When he said these very things to his disciples wasn't really excited for that matter. They were not excited for this. They were excited for the verses prior to this. This is what they said. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? They're like asking, Lord, sa Philippines ba talaga mapupunta ang Spratlys? They're talking about a different kind of power, the minions of the world, political power. God is not pertaining to those powers. He said, there's going to be a different kind of power, and it is my very power that's going to happen in your life. You know, I'm just so pumped up whenever we have Victory Weekend. And if you're here, you haven't been to a Victory Weekend. It is not this church creating an event for the sake of having an event. It is a time when we gather together, we explain this, and we tell them, guess what, friends? You want to receive this power? Right here, right now, you get to receive it. I went to Victory Weekend in 2004. And I'll tell you what, my life was never the same. I'm not saying my life is perfect. Iniisip ko lang po, parang sayang. Parang sayang na Christian ako, tapos walang power. Narealize niyo yun? Parang yes, you love Jesus, you worship Jesus, pero you look at your life, you look at yourself in the mirror, but parang walang power. Why do I feel so defeated? There might be something missing. We might be failing and tapping in the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There's so much resources that we can tap on. Let me go back to the verse, a few more things, and we're going to end. Let me go back to the first verses that I've showed you a while ago. Look at this one. John 14, 16 to 17. I want you to understand that this is pre-baptism of the Holy Spirit. When I say baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about them or the Holy Spirit coming upon a believer. Okay. Before the Holy Spirit came on them, this is what happened. Look at this one. Jesus said, I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. Then it says here, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. The reason why the Holy Spirit is like intangible to the people in the world is because they haven't received the Holy Spirit. It's as simple as that. So here's my point for everyone. If you receive the Holy Spirit, then you perceive the Holy Spirit. Everything becomes so tangible now. Now look at this one. The next verse, it says here, you know Him, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and He will be in you. Jesus was giving them a hint of what's going to happen. Look at this one. I want us to look at this one. For He dwells with you. You remember Moses. Remember Abraham. Remember Noah. Isaiah. Jeremiah. All of these Old Testament saints. Here's my question for everyone. Do you think that the Holy Spirit was present in their time? The Holy Spirit was present. Why? The Holy Spirit is God Himself. From the very beginning of time, the Holy Spirit was present. But it says here, He dwells with them. While the Israelites were walking out of Egypt, the Holy Spirit was with them. The transition phase now is this one. Jesus said, now He's not going to dwell with you, He's going to dwell in you. That spells a different kind of thought for me. If I know for a fact that God that I worship basically takes residence in my life, it's just totally different. I like the humor of God. If people would say, I don't want to believe the Holy Spirit because He is intangible. Listen, the moment you receive the Holy Spirit in your life, things begin to change. Things begin to change. Look at this one. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. When the day of Pentecost arrived, this is a time wherein Jesus was no longer with them. What was the promise of Jesus? He departs, the Holy Spirit comes. That was His promise. Here's what happened to them. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Look at this one. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound, hearing. Who says the Holy Spirit is intangible? There came a sound like a mighty rushing wind. They were together. Can you show the picture for a while? They were together in one room, and this is what happened to them. In fact, the truth is, this is depicted in the movie, but the Bible says they were just seated down. Well, they were seated down. All of these things that basically happened. Can you go back to that verse? It says here, a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. No fuss, no acoustic guitar, no praise and worship. And here's what happened. The next verse, it says here, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them. Sight! See how God basically goes against the wisdom of the world. Now they saw tongues of fire coming to them and rested on each one of them. In verse 4, it says here, and they were all filled, fillings. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues. Words, hearing. For some reason, they were just together. The God that we worship is a supernatural God. And the supernatural God basically came upon them. And they just don't know what was happening. Tongues of fire came upon them. They start speaking in another tongue. I tell you what, if you're here this afternoon and you speak in tongues, guess what? You're speaking the perfect language of heaven. You communicate directly to God. Not too many people begin to understand you, but God is there. He's so giddy up with you praising and worshiping Him as you speak in tongues. I tell you what, if you're here this afternoon and you haven't given your life to the Lord, you're missing a lot. You're missing the very hope that you need in this lifetime. And if you're here and you are a Christian, you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you don't speak in tongues, I tell you what, you also miss a lot. There's so much power that is at your disposal that you're missing. And this is what the devil is doing. He's trying to distract us from understanding all of these things. He doesn't want us to come into a place where we're just so powerful. You know why? Because if we're all so powerful, this church, I mean this world will basically turn upside down. We're going to change this world. I want to go back to what I said a while ago. So Holy Spirit, my forever. In the Holy Spirit, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, He's going to be with us forever. Apart from the power of the Holy Spirit, it is impossible for us to live a victorious life. And here's my challenge for everyone. If you're here and you're getting so puzzled with what I have been talking about, you feel like, I'm not saying, look at this one. I am not saying that if you don't speak in tongues, you are a lesser Christian. That is not my point. That is not my point. Our heart here is for every one of us to understand that there's something more that we could actually claim and receive from the God of the universe. Amen.